Hello and welcome to episode 157 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. Today, it's going to be Tank, Craig, and myself, David. Let's get started. Quick point of follow-up before we get started. I have not found a keyboard yet, but I've gotten some really good recommendations in the Slack in episode discussion. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but I've got some options.
Probably going to unhitch one from a typewriter and somehow figure a way of plugging it into your computer.
No, I think...
Are you that hipster, David?
I think I'm going to end up using an Apple 10 key, like a wireless Apple 10 key.
Oh, yeah.
And keeping my Amazon Prime keyboard on my desk, just out of the way for when I have to use Windows. Because I like the idea of the keys feel completely different between OSs. I think that's going to help my brain know the copy command thing, because the keys don't even feel the same. Hey, are those Audio Technica headphones, Tank?
I do not know.
Or can you turn your head? I feel like I had... Oh, no. Never mind. I thought I had a pair just like them like 10 years ago that I really, really, really loved. Some of my favorite headphones that I've owned.
Mm-hmm. But these are not those.
These are not those.
These are the Sennheiser HD 439 headphones black.
There's a thing on some of the tech podcasts now where when they refer to a product, they read the whole Amazon title out loud verbatim.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounded like that's what you
like
just did.
Like I just did. That's what I just did.
Craig, what headphones are you using?
Really bad ones. They are called... I don't even... The model number has rubbed off, but they're TDK.
Is that an Australian thing?
TDK? TDK is a worldwide brand, surely.
I have no idea.
I've not actually
heard of TDK something. Headphones.
Oh, really?
Now I'm going to be embarrassed. You've
heard of TDK, right?
No.
What?
Maybe
it's Japanese.
Have.
Tank, do you know TDK?
You're a lot closer.
Sorry, I don't know TDK, but
what?
For the record, I didn't know Sennheiser either, and I'm wearing their headphones. So.
Sennheiser is like
I couldn't
industry
name
standard headphone and microphone brand. You're good. Oh, that's with good
Global.tdk.com. Yeah, I see them on Amazon. Hold on, that one's not.
I'm
available.
Just seeing if the logo was familiar to you once you've seen the logo.
Discontinued. That one's also not available. Are these things available in the U.S.? Are your headphones illegal? TDK portable speaker. TDK.
I got them because they've got a battery. They're noise canceling. And they were cheap-ish. They were like $50 or something.
Okay, here's the set of $12. Yeah, it looks like they're like the middle of the lowest end. They're not like the lowest. They're not like the five below headphones, but they're also like.
Where are you looking?
Oh, no, wait. Here's TDK Premium Wireless Studio Headphones THWR700. These are $448.
Yeah, I'm sure they make good stuff as well. I just needed something quickly at one stage, and then I've hung on to them for some reason.
It does seem, and this is purely anecdotal from my experience trying to find their products on Amazon, it does seem that most anything that is easily available in the US is like $30 or less. Well, $40 or less.
I think these are the ones I have. I'm pretty sure. Wow, that's a long URL. Sorry about that.
It didn't even... Oh, wow, that's big. It's showing me the link. It's underlined, but I can't click on it because Skype is made by Microsoft. the TDK 61821 noise-canceling headphones and C150.
Say that.
This is harder
fast
than I thought. $15. Noise canceling?
$15.
Mine says $62.
They're $60 Australian.
They're
It's four easy payments of $15 on, is what mine says.
Are you AUD? Is that Australian dollar? Yeah, that's $20 yes. Australian.
Yeah, four payments of that.
Yeah. I mean, well, to be fair, what do you pay for like what do you pay for like a meal? I'm imagining like $400. Australia's third world, right?
What? Oh. Ouch.
You just like work for a week and you get to eat a meal.
What?
In the mines.
What? No. This is so racist. I'm glad we're recording this. I have evidence.
Yeah, but I'm the editor.
Yeah, I know. That, which is why the music cut out halfway through in the outro last week, right?
I have no idea why that happened. It's because I had to do the whole edit on my iPad because my computer was dust in the wind.
Although I'm willing to take the blame for it.
Nobody has asked me, but I'm wearing the Audio Technica M40X.
Hey, David, what headphones are you wearing?
Nobody has asked me.
All right, I think
I take a lot of joy in underpaying for good headphones. Like whenever a pair of headphones of mine breaks, I spend like hours and hours and hours doing research. And then I buy a pair that's usually like 60 and I'm excited because it's going to sound like it's $200.
Nice.
But this pair has a removable cable, which is part of why I bought it. Because whenever my headphones die, it's always the cable.
Interesting.
And so my thought was, if I can just replace the cable on these for $10, I'm invincible. I could use these headphones for years, and I think I've had them for like 3 or 4 years now.
Nice. Have you had to replace the cable?
No. No, the cable's better too. Okay, let's get started. So Tank, you have a topic, or so I hear. And that topic is people who are using the internet to market to women seeking abortion?
Yeah, so this is something that is actually already going on. It's based, I guess the topic is based on an article from the Gospel Coalition about a organization called Human Coalition that is trying to fight the abortion issue trying to steer women away from getting abortions using technology. And the way they're doing that is essentially using internet-based marketing tools. So it seems like things like AdWords and things like that, maybe other forms of advertising as well, to, capture the attention of people who are out there on the internet searching for abortion search terms. So just a really quick rundown. They say, you know, once a woman chooses to abort, the first thing they may do is jump online, search things like free abortions or where do I get an abortion? How much does it cost to abort? And then there's some ridiculous number, 1.85 million internet searches in the US per month for abortion procurement. But then they try and target people who are searching for those things within 15 miles of a care clinic or a partner pregnancy center that's associated with Human Coalition. So they have a bunch, like a network of pregnancy centers and other sort of groups that do that kind of thing. And they try to location target these women so that they can direct them to get in contact with one of these places instead of going down the abortion road. So I guess the reason that I thought this would be interesting to talk about, obviously they're leveraging tech to target these people. And then they've actually seen some quite positive results. So they said that the engagement rate of abortion-minded women in one area went from 3% to 14%. Another place it went from 5% to 19%. And another place they've got it up as high as 40%. So I guess if you look at those numbers and you look at the graphs they put together, which you can see in the article that we'll link to, they are getting a response and they are finding that through the approach that they're taking, some women are choosing life instead of death for their unborn child. But to skip right to the end of the article, and then I want to sort of come back around and just in a minute, I want to ask what you guys sort of think of the strategy behind this and then maybe the way that they're using the tech as well. At the very end of the article, they talk a bit about William Wilberforce and his sort of social justice-y type work. And then they say, that's the same goal Human Coalition has for abortion. We're trying to make it unthinkable and unavailable. So that is their goal. And I think we would all agree that that is a good goal to have. And we agree that it is an unthinkable thing. And so to have it be unavailable as well is that's where we all want to head. I guess when I was reading this article though, I was sort of thinking, good idea, but is that enough? And what I mean by that is, is using on an issue like this where it's quite a clear cut issue for Christians. Like there's no sort of, there's not much of a gray area. We should all be saying abortion is sinful because it's premeditated murder of a human life. And therefore is sort of, this seems like a sort of subtle way to try and combat such a large and serious issue. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on is this really effective? Like, you know, are the increases they're seeing, would you consider that to be effective? Should they just keep doing what they're doing? And if this is kind of a standalone method, what do we think about sort of the Christian ethics of that? Is this a good approach or does this need to be in tandem with something else? Or whatever else you've got that you want to talk about or any other thoughts you've got about this as a strategy, I suppose, the effectiveness and also the, you know, the use of tech in this particular, for this particular purpose.
So I'm in favor of babies being saved. I find it hard to believe that anyone would not be. And the question of whether or not this is a good way to do it is obviously that's obviously a good question. You should always be questioning, are you doing the best thing that you can be doing? But frankly, I think it's just a good thing that somebody is trying something. And yeah. Russia seems to have proven that this sort of thing can work. You can persuade people through advertising on the internet. I guess if the question is it enough? Like, well, no, of course it's not enough, but you can never do enough. You know, babies are being murdered every day. There's never enough, and it's not possible for any one person or any organization. I mean, the only thing that would actually stop it, which would be enough, is a civil war. But I don't think that's on the table in this particular case for various reasons that we could discuss if we must, but, and I guess it would need to be multiple civil wars because multiple nations have this issue. So anyway, all of that to say, I'm in favor of it. I have thoughts about, I mean, marketing tends to be one of the most, statistics in marketing tend to be some of the most artistic forms of statistics that I've ever seen.
And that was one of the thoughts I had about this.
And so I do look at this and wonder, well, but does that prove what they're saying? Yeah. But it does exactly. seem to be doing something. Like you can't look at these numbers and say, I bet it's zero. They're having zero impact. So I'm happy that they're doing it. The question of what I donate or not, that's another question. I don't know how effective it is. I need to look more into it. But
yeah.
Overall, I'm happy that babies are being saved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Tank, what do you think?
Yeah, I didn't have much to add to that thought, and that's pretty much my thought. Like a lot of times you hear, you know, human rights, any issue, you hear any issue like this, like slave trafficking, just anything where we think like, oh, that's terrible, I want to get involved, I want to do something. And for a lot of us, it stops at that, you know. And maybe we post something or maybe we do a podcast about it. But just seeing, you know, people say, this is happening and we want to do something about it, and they're doing something about it and making a really strong effort. I think that's great. And it looks like, you know, the very beginning of the article, it said a business executive, a technology guru, and a CEO consultant are all getting together and creating this using their skills. And I think it's awesome that they're looking at the skills that they've built up over their life in business and are saying, let's see if we can put these to good use in fighting for life. And yeah. So, yeah, I think that's great.
I agree. And I think that's one of the things that we've always been keen to see with this podcast is we've always been interested to see different people with different tech skills coming together and using them for Christian purposes. For the kingdom, and that's obviously what's happening here. So that is really encouraging. And actually, the one of the guys who's involved was interviewed by Matt Chandler at the end of last year, I think it was, And was this article written when I think it was written? No. Okay. At the end of 2016, he was interviewed by Matt Chandler on his podcast. And he said he is hopeful that we'll see abortion ended in America in his lifetime. And he thinks that both the data trends and the political sort of climate is heading in that direction long term. Obviously, this was 2017 when the article was written. We're now, you know, over a year beyond that, or a year and a bit beyond that. So it'd be interesting to know if he still thinks the political climate is heading that way. But what I was saying to Tank was, and this is to David's point on statistics, that I think politically it looks like, as an outsider, that the American government is pushing harder into the pro-abortion thing, not less. Mm. Right now at this point in time. But having said that, there's also more Christians being more vocal and doing more practical things about it than there maybe have been in, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And so that might be contributing to the numbers that these guys are also involved in raising in terms of women choosing another option other than abortion. So a couple of other quotes from the article that I wanted to read out. Because I think one of the things that was interesting to me about this is I think my first thought was, yes, great. Use technology, like David said, use technology to save babies. Anything that saves babies is good. And so, using technology as a way to do it, nothing wrong with that.
That's anything 100%. That saves babies. Like, again, probably not a civil war.
Well, okay. Yes, fair enough. But, you know, in broadly speaking, strategies that don't involve civil war that can save people's lives are usually a good thing. But what I found interesting was a lot of the, I guess, what I've heard about in recent years as being highly effective abortion ministry or abortion outreach at abortion clinics and things like that has been more of an on the ground approach and also an upfront approach. So, you know, we've mentioned the Gospel Coalition on one side, not to say that these guys are opposite, but if listeners to our show who also have listened to Apologia Radio will know that they do a whole bunch of work in this area, and they've got a movement called End Abortion Now that they are really pushing, and actually heard Jeff Durbin speak on this in Australia a couple of years ago as well. So that's something that they're spreading not just throughout the States, although it has taken off there, but also in other countries. And that seems to be a bit of a different approach, and I'm not saying that it's better or worse. I think the two approaches can both be used, and like David said, you know, the more things we can do, the better. But there's a couple of quotes from the article I want to read to you on this approach just to see what you think. And do you have something to say there, David?
No.
I was wondering, did you describe what approach they use? You said on the ground approach, but like, what does that look like exactly?
Yeah, good point. I didn't really describe it. So, just for the people who don't maybe know, the End Abortion Now approach is local churches all around the country mobilizing to actually go out and physically stand at abortion clinics and basically talk to people or, you know, preach to people both and maybe counsel people where they have the opportunity. To try and change their mind. Same sort of outcome, changing their mind away from abortion and towards saving the life of the baby. But they have a 5-part message. So, you know, they call abortion murder. They call it for what it is. They talk about it as being sinful. They call people to repent and believe the gospel and talk about, you know, the grace that is available in Christ. And then they want to, you know, rescue babies and their parents. So it's not just we care about your baby, we don't care about you. They're actually, you know, bringing the gospel to the whole family situation. And they're also saying they want justice when these atrocities essentially are committed. And I've heard them talk before about the fact that part of the strategy involves having people, I think they talked, you know, about having people in their church who will offer really, really practical support. So, you know, taking in people who don't have, you know, women who are choose to have the baby but don't have anywhere to live, or people who need legal help, they tee them up with lawyers and stuff like that if they, you know, are having different issues. If it's finances, you know, they have people who will contribute in that way and things like that. So then it's not about just convincing them that they shouldn't abort their baby and then leaving them to do their own thing. They try to also bring practical support where they can to support the gospel message, if that makes sense. And so I think that seems like, you know, they have seen hundreds of babies saved, and other churches who've taken that up have reported, you know, really good outcomes as well. And so, but that seems, like I said, that they are at the abortion mill bringing the gospel, and they're unashamedly doing that. And that seems a little bit different in some ways to the beauty of tech in some ways is you can do it from anywhere. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be at each of these abortion clinics. You can be doing it when people are even earlier in the process in terms of searching for where they might go to get this kind of thing. And basically anyone can do it. You don't have to mobilize a whole church group. It could be, in this case, it's three people essentially, or three people with three different skill sets have got together and done this kind of thing. That's not to say the local church isn't important. There's just a couple of things that I found kind of interesting. And the first, in terms of the way that the Gospel Coalition article and that Human Coalition's sort of strategy works. And they said, it used to be believed all we had to do was tell the mother she had a child growing inside of her, and that if she knew it was a baby, she'd choose life. That's not true anymore. The overwhelming number of clients know they have a baby. They call it a baby, but the child's life is still worth less to them than whatever their circumstances are. And I think that's true. And I think that's true in both cases. But then another quote from the article says, if Human Coalition can slow down a woman's decision process, help her to relax and relieve some of the stress, they have a better chance of rescuing both her and her child from abortion. And that just made me think, and you know, that just made me think of the passage that is often used in this thing, in this discussion of stopping, you know, holding back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. And does that really look like helping them to relax and helping them calm down? And do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's, I guess in this stage, maybe it is because it's they're not at the abortion clinic yet. They are still thinking about it. Whereas people who are walking in to have an abortion that day at a Planned Parenthood or something, maybe that's a slightly different thing. And then the next, you know, a little bit further down, it says Human Coalition clinics don't have Bible verses on the wall, as they can be a distraction to a client who is coming in with a wall up as it is. So counselors ease into discussions of faith in the counseling room by asking about their faith background. But they say the conversations happen casually and may not happen at all during the first visit. We really allow the Holy Spirit to lead in these areas. So those kind of couple of quotes are the bits that I sort of wanted to then throw back and say, we all agree that what Human Coalition is doing is a good idea, and it seems to be having some effect, and that's a good thing. What do we think about these parts of the approach? And, you know, from a Christian perspective, is this a consistent way to look at it, or is this just, is this appropriate to what they're doing because it's they're directing people to pregnancy centers rather than, you know, going out to, like I said, a Planned Parenthood or something like that. What do you guys think about those quotes in the context of the rest of the article?
Well, for one thing, in their article, it talks about along the lines of how they help women in helping them to relax and relieve stress is that they're connecting them with jobs and housing and welfare. And the last line they have is that they says eventually the care coordinator connects each woman with a mentor from a local church, someone who will walk with her through the church doors and plug her into the community there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I definitely think that, you know, that is their desire, is for people to connect with the church, and looks like they're doing it in a way that provides, like lasting discipleship, not just, you know, share the gospel, and then kind of move left, move right. You know, if you, go to church now if you became a Christian, or see you later if you didn't. Which of course I know that's not what anybody would suggest would be good anyway. But it just looks like they're really trying to do it in a healthy way. And in a way that is, you know, connecting them to a church and having someone there that will begin training them in the things that Christ taught, along a timeline, that they said. I think a lot of this was in context of, this was in context of sometimes the woman goes in and she leaves, but the clinic stays in contact with her.
Yeah.
And this is when that stuff happens. They say, all right, well, you left and you said you're still planning on getting an abortion, but let's continue spending time together and talking through it. Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say it's really good.
And I wonder if they use retargeting as well, like,
ad retargeting.
Yeah. Ad retargeting for those people. I'm sure they do, like, you know, so that if they come in and then decide to leave without, like in any other business, without making a purchase, or in this case, without making the decision that Human Coalition is trying to, you know, lead them towards, then, yeah, I'm assuming they then use the tech, the sort of ad tech to try and stay in contact with that person that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yeah, and I guess with the sharing the gospel, I think it would be really, like, if I were to create one of these, maybe, which sounds silly to say, since, you know, I haven't, and they have. but yeah, I guess I would maybe consider what is a, say, in all of their testing that they're doing as you go through this article, you see they're constantly trying new things and testing, how did this go and how did that go? Like, what if we paint it all blue and the other one's not? Oh, blue worked well, those kind of things. Yeah. I think one of the first things I would begin testing is, like, what is a way we can engage them in the gospel that doesn't turn them away, and begin and testing all that. So yeah, I think that would have been healthy. But I can also, judging by their heart and what I've seen in the article, that their heart is to get to the gospel. And it sounds like they do get to the gospel a lot of the time. Yeah. So I have a hard time really not being in that situation saying, like, well, they should definitely say this, you know, right whenever the person walks in the door. Those are my initial thoughts.
Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historic creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. Are you a rockstar node developer at an up-and-coming industry-disrupting startup? Chances are, you get to wear t-shirts to work. Why not don a t-shirt with the five solos on it and wear it proudly at stand-up? Even if you're not a developer or you can't wear t-shirts at work, everyone could use some casual t-shirts, and Missionalware's designs look great. To grab some Reformed t-shirts, posters, mugs, or even just to browse their great designs, check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missionalware for sponsoring the Tech Reformation. When we call abortion murder, which it is, we sometimes have the temptation there to also minimize the nuance and complexity that occurs when a woman decides to have an abortion, because she's not, I mean, obviously she's not the only party responsible for what is happening, for the existence of the baby, for the desire to kill the baby. There was a man involved, and either he is encouraging her to do this, or he has just entirely left the scene.
He could be discouraging her, and she still wants to go through with it.
That is true.
That's also a valid possibility.
That's a good point.
So it could be the case that it's only the woman who is wanting to have the abortion.
You're absolutely right. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, in many of these cases, as a matter of fact, the way the article talks, it almost sounds like most of the women they get, they don't have any contact with the man.
It does sound like that.
And I suspect that's just the case. And in that sense, there's a very real sense in which the woman feels that, you know, this is really the only option. It's what's best for her. It's what's best for the baby. And these are all lies, of course. Like it's not what's best for anybody. It is murder. Mm-hmm. Murder is never what's best. But we do need to recognize that there's nuance and complexity here. And so if we can remove these factors like stress and not having a job and concern about providing for the baby. I mean, Apologia does the same thing when they say, you know, yeah. we'll take your baby. We'll adopt your baby, for crying out loud. So I guess what I want to say here is you can at the same time hold that something is a vile sin, that it is murder and that it's an assault on the image of God, but then at the same time admit that people do it for complicated reasons and those reasons should be addressed rather than just the sin itself. And if there's anything that you can do to help someone who feels like murder is their only option, you should do that. And lawfully, you know, anything that isn't sin in itself. And then civil war. Yeah. I actually think civil war might be justified if we could win it. But the problem is that the issue is not, it's not like the North and the South. The issue is everywhere, and it would result in way too many deaths. It wouldn't actually solve the problem and we'd probably lose. And then the issue of not sharing the gospel. I mean, if I'm in a hostage situation and the guy's threatening to shoot everybody, I'm sorry, I'm not going to bring up the gospel in the hostage situation. like there's a time for that. And it might not be the first conversation. It might not be the first phone call. Like, what are your demands? Also, Jesus died for you. I mean, I'm over dramatizing and oversimplifying the situation, but I think the fact of the matter is there are two fundamental problems. One is a baby that is going to die, and another is a woman that's going to hell. And we can do something about the former, or we can do something about the baby, and address the soul issue later, because the baby is the helpless one. You know, the woman is going to hell because of her sin, but we have a responsibility to protect the innocent first.
That was a good picture. Like, at first I didn't really see the hostage situation. Like, I just thought like, oh, another side metaphor that's going to work. But then, yeah, if you look at the baby as the hostage, then I can see where you're going with that for sure. That's all.
I think I agree 100% with the point about this is a nuanced issue and there is lots of things that can lead people down this road, and it's not, and a lot of people say we shouldn't even be having this conversation because we're all men. And so it's never something we will personally even get close to experiencing because we can't. I guess when David was talking about, you know, not bringing up the gospel, or we can do that later. Let's save the baby first. I think the counter argument to that would be that abortion is inherently a gospel issue, in terms of image of God and not valuing the image of God and building. I mean, another thing that you know that I've heard, you know, I think some of the people who are involved in end abortion now talk about, is the idea of like sort of incrementalism doesn't really work from the pro-life lobby. And it's also like when people come to your church and you kind of like, you know, I won't actually come alongside and disciple them all. When you have non-Christian family or friends, and instead of speaking to them about the gospel, you kind of say, well, I'll invite them around for a barbecue. And then if that goes well, then maybe we'll have another barbecue a couple of months later. And then maybe I'll invite them to a social event with some other friends who just also happen to be Christians. And then maybe I'll invite them. So it's this kind of like step by step by step closer until you walk them into the door of a church, and then thinking that that might be the way that they hear the gospel and then respond, rather than just like what Tank, what you, I guess, would be doing more of, which is, yes, you have to make some kind of initial connection, but then the gospel fairly quickly becomes part of that. Is that, that'd be fair to say in mission work? So I think that sort of principle of not treating one as something that's immediate and the other as something that we can afford to make a long-term thing is something that was sort of playing on my mind as I was reading through the article. Because I think Human Coalition, the work they're doing is fantastic. But I guess that this was the hurdle where I was kind of like, do I agree with that or do I not quite think something's right there? Something to me, and maybe it's just, you know, maybe I need to think a little bit more about it the way that David is, but something to me feels odd about saying, save the baby and the rest of the situation we have longer on, because you don't know that. Like, you don't know that you've got longer on that. And if this is the only chance you get to speak to this person who's in this situation, what is the thing? What is the thing that can help them the most? I would think that we would, or I would want to be thinking along the lines of, it's both, right? Like, it's not either or, it's both and. Like, people who are lost need the gospel, and people who are naked and lost need clothes and the gospel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the practical need and the spiritual need are both real needs, and I don't know that we can separate them out and say one is more important than the other, or one is more time urgent than the other. And so, and I'm not saying Human Coalition is saying that the women's lives or souls or, you know, spiritual care isn't important. I certainly think that they would say that it is, and the article points to that sincerely. But just some of the quotes got me thinking, you know, how do you, in these issues, once you've sort of engaged them with tech, how do you then rely on the fact that you're going to have more non-tech time to lead them to something that is quite important for them to hear early on? Do you know what I mean? Being like the gospel message, or at least their knowledge of not just please don't do this, but please don't do this because this is what it means, and this is what it, you know, this is what the image of God is, and this is how it actually impacts on not just you now, but your, you know, soul for eternity, or your well-being in 10 years time when you're regretting it or whatever. Like, you know, there's a whole bunch of things come into it. But that was just kind of a hurdle that I got to when I was reading through and going, I don't know if those two things should be one first and then the other, or if they should be trying to happen somewhat simultaneously.
Yeah, I'm going to be the bad guy in this conversation. I'm bad cop. And probably not a lot of people are going to agree with me. And I guess I'm okay with that. But I guess what I want to say is the church's mission is to share the gospel, of course. You know, I mean, well, that's the church's outward facing mission. The church's primary mission is to worship God and glorify him. But the outward mission of the church is to share the gospel. But that's not the outward mission of a dentist. And when somebody comes in to a dentist office and they say, I have a cavity, you don't say, I know you have a cavity, but it's both and. I need to share the gospel with you because you might die after this. you just
sometimes your analogies are not one-to-one analogies.
No, it's not a one-to-one. But what I'm saying is, like, the reason you have cavities, by the way, is because of the fall. but I guess, or bring it into tech, right?
Jesus can fill the hole in your tooth.
Actually, there's a hole in your heart. It's even more important than the hole in your tooth. But what I'm trying to say here is Christians don't have, there's no biblical expectation that Christians share the gospel the first time. Even if there is an argument to be made that this would convince them not to kill their baby. You can convince somebody not to kill someone apart from the gospel. You can do it through natural revelation. Sure. And we're talking about, I guess, an organization that sets out to save babies. Like, that is their goal. They're not, there are people in it who are a part of the church. And of course, those people need to have the church's mission in mind as they, just like dentists need to have the church's mission in mind, just like programmers need to have the church's mission in mind as they do whatever their organization's mission is. But the organization doesn't exist specifically to share the gospel. The organization exists to save babies. And I don't think it's helpful to impose, like, just because you're a Christian or just because this is a thing that is inherently something Christians would approve of, you also need to share the gospel the first time, or you need to find a way to work it in early on in the process. Because at the end of the day, the organization is successful and a baby is saved, even if the gospel is never shared with that person. Like, there are secular organizations out there doing this kind of work because they still think that abortion is wrong. And those organizations are still doing good in the world.
Can I go next?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Otherwise, it might just be a tennis match.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see what... I'm going to be more middle road, or maybe, I don't know, Hopefully I can get both of you to agree with me. That'd be cool. But
instead I don't disagree. For the record, before Tank jumps in, because I want to hear Tank's thought, but I do. Yeah. I don't disagree with David. I think you can convince someone not to murder someone without preaching the gospel to them in the same breath. I think that's possible. I think the argument would be, and again, whether or not this argument is the best one, but I think the argument from the other side would be, yes, but as a consistent Christian, your basis for your persuasion not to murder someone is rooted in the gospel. You have presuppositions that give you grounds to say, you should not murder this person. Please don't murder this person. And here's why. So when you're dealing with a situation where it is incremental in some ways, because you're saying, well, at this stage, we just want to fix issue one and then we'll fix another. If the first thing is a consult and they sort of talk about it and say, I'll go away and think about it. Well, in that instance, you still haven't actually even saved the baby. So if we're assuming that every time on the first time they meet the women, then they save the baby, then that's fine. But if not, then you've still got an up in the air situation that could go either way. And so I think the benefit of bringing the gospel to bear on the situation earlier rather than later would be that it gives an objective reason or a basis for the persuasion that then follows. That would be the counter argument. But I want to hear what Tank has to say.
Yeah, me too.
I look at the way they describe the what they do, and they say that these faith conversations take place in the counseling room.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and when I think of counseling, and what I've learned a lot about recently is biblical counseling, and kind of the mindset and approach behind that is that, you know, our problems come from the fall. The Bible has everything we need for life and godliness, and the issues that counselors deal with, I don't want to say 100% of the time, I haven't taken the training, but like a lot of the times are sin issues that, if healed, those problems will go away. Mm-hmm. And I know there are extreme cases, but I also know biblical counselors would say, like, we have examples of extreme cases being fixed too. And so when I think of what is their approach to counseling, and this is where, you know, we have a few short paragraphs on what they do. And so we can't really say this is what they do. But if their approach is a biblical counseling approach where they're not taking in like secular methodologies and making that their focus, but they're saying, you know, the Bible is our focus, sin is the problem. Then they're going to be, as they counsel and as they ask these questions of the person and as they give advice, as counselors do, they counsel. I would assume that a lot of their content is going to be from the Bible and moving towards the gospel. And as I think you tied it to kind of our work or the work I do as a missionary, you know, the first time I meet someone, I hope to share the gospel. But I most often do it as more of an information related instead of like, I'll still challenge them. Like, do you want to know more? Do you want to do this? Do you want to follow Christ? Mm-hmm. But I haven't gone like full, like delving into their souls unless I'm doing more street evangelism. Then I try to get it as deep as I can, because I know this will be my last try or my last chance to talk to them. But as I'm meeting someone who I'm expecting to have continued conversation with, each time we hang out, the increment is the depth of the conversation. So the gospel still is there, but as they see me and see the Christian community and they hear the gospel and have time to think about it and they hear more pieces, I keep bringing it deeper, and regularly challenging them to move deeper. Instead of just hoping they make one big step, I hope they continually walk forward and praying that at any point the Spirit go make them make the big step. And so that's what I would picture these counseling conversations being. And because you're right, only the gospel can save them, and the gospel is the most powerful tool of fixing the issue of wanting to kill a baby. There may be, you know, more incremental ways of getting there than just saying like, make the correct decision, and them saying, no, bye.
Yeah. And that's right. And I think we have to, you know, as fellow Christians with the people who are involved in this kind of a ministry, you know, the initial part is tech-based and then it becomes person-to-person. And so I would want to give the benefit of the doubt that the counselors know what they're doing and they are able to judge each situation as an individual person who's got individual needs and individual reasons for, you know, exploring the option of abortion and coming to the pregnancy center and whatever. So, yeah, I'm sure they are doing their absolute best to work out how incremental to go, I guess, which sounds like what you're saying, you know, like if they are convinced that this is the only time they're going to speak to someone, then maybe they do it differently to if the person seems super receptive and they have, you know, booked in another appointment and they know that they're going to see that, you know. So it is, yeah, it is a matter of, I think, I'm certainly not saying this is a bad approach. It's just, like I said, there were a few things in the article that sort of maybe raised my eyebrows, and I think chatting through it has been helpful to, yeah, like you said, Tank, maybe have a bit of a middle ground approach where you don't, neither side has to compromise. But it's a matter of saying, like David said right at the beginning, it's nuanced. Every person, every situation is different. Every person is different. And so the Christians involved really have to be relying on the Holy Spirit to do the work of transformation, both in saving the baby and in saving the person. And so however that happens, however that looks, whether that's incremental or all of a sudden is, I guess, yeah, can fluctuate and doesn't have to be prescriptive.
I think one of the places we might be getting hung up is that I don't think the Holy Spirit needs to move or that somebody needs to have a gospel motive to think that murder is wrong and to think that abortion is murder.
Sure.
And so the conversation, what conversation you're having is obviously a huge factor here, because if the person is struggling with a lot of internal issues, it's often the case that the gospel is the only thing that will really resolve the issue that is pushing them to think an abortion is the right answer. And so in those cases, it would obviously be stupid not to share the gospel. Because, you know, what better help can I give you if you're afraid that you'll never be a good enough mom than telling you about Jesus, who was good enough for all of us, and a father who will care for your child regardless. So I want to affirm that the gospel can definitely be the best option, or the best thing, the most effective way to save the baby. But I also just want to leave room for organizations that say, you know, we understand that the gospel is important and it's what's ultimately going to end this fight. But we see our battle as more practical, as more being about changing an individual's person's mind on one particular issue. Just like, you know, I might be a salesperson who thinks that the product I'm selling is a really good product. My job from 9 to 5 is to convince people to buy the good widget, and I think it'll make their lives better. It won't make their lives as good as the gospel will, but I'm not a missionary. You know, and if the person, you know, if there's a relationship there and I'm, you know, able to eventually share the gospel, great. But I just want to leave room for Christians in organizations who see the ability to help someone not kill a baby and don't see a clear opportunity and never get to share the gospel. I don't think they did anything wrong. I don't think that they should go home and think, man, I didn't do enough. No, you saved a baby. Like praise God.
Yeah,
that's great.
But aren't we all missionaries, David?
No, we're not. That's just not the case.
I'm joking.
Depends on the definition of a missionary.
I think we've talked about that before, haven't we? When we talked about digital missionaries.
R. Scott Clark points out that the only example we have of an unordained person sharing the gospel in the New Testament is the man born blind. And all he does is say, look, I don't know. You should talk to Jesus. I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't share the gospel. I'm just saying, I think we do have kind of a really high expectation that everybody be an apostle, be a Paul. And Paul was unique. The apostles were unique.
Yeah, agreed. I think this is a big topic. And I think there's certainly, like I said, not trying to pit one completely against the other and say they're on opposite ends of the scale or anything like that. I think they're both working towards the same goal. They've got different focuses and they've got foci?
Focorum.
Focuses, whatever.
Focobus.
Feek. They've got different ways of going about it, and it seems like both are having an impact, which is fantastic. And that's actually the like we've all said, is the ultimate end goal is the same, and both are seeing positive outcomes from that. Another thing End Abortion Now is doing is they've, through technology, they've set up a way through their website to easily contact local legislators and lobby through the political sort of side of things to end abortion. So there's that. There's Human Coalition. I would be interested to hear from people in the Slack channel about any other ways that you've heard of that this is happening or that you can think of that haven't been tried or haven't been done yet, that this sort of an issue that seems like a very social, practical, on the ground, face-to-face, personal issue could be tackled using technology or could be, you know, we could assist in the sort of battle against it using technology. So I reckon that would be something interesting to hear from people in the episode discussion channel this week.
For sure.
And if you would like to get to our Slack, you can join us by going to slack.techreformation.com. You'll provide your email. We won't spam you. I don't even think we get your email. And make up a password, and then you're in. And you can talk to us.
If you don't want to talk to us, you can just go to our website, techreformation.com, where it has all of our other episodes.
This has been the Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week. And I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, no, I ain't looking back. No, 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 I ain't looking back. I made my choice, and I ain't looking back.
I mean, the abortion industry is massive and so it's a huge beast to fight, but there's so many other things other than what they're doing that are currently happening to combat abortion.
Guys,
that could...
Guys, we're talking about the thing before we talk about the thing. We can't do this. Now I'm going to have to take this and put it in the outro.
I am recording it.
I'm not recording it. Hang on, let me start recording.
That's true. Okay, so all the things I should have just said.
Sweet mercy, man.
I am recording it. That's right. You can just use the Skype audio, right? It worked great last week.
The new rule is we're going to go full Merlin Man and you hit record before you connect. And then we all get to record saying, hello?